Let's remain standing tonight as we read God's Word together. I hope the Lord will meet with us tonight and help us a little bit along life's way. I had every intention in the world on beginning tonight our series in Hosea. And I got to thinking about the ladies' meeting coming up and the theme of that ladies' meeting. And a particular psalm just kept, I'd read it several times, and several years ago I underlined some words in that psalm. And those words kept ringing out in my mind, and I thought, well, the Lord kind of put a thought together, and I've preached from this psalm before, and some of what I've preached I'll preach tonight, but the main emphasis I'll preach is on the last part of the psalm, as I think will be the real thought for tonight. So if you'll turn to Psalm 77 in your Bible, Psalm 77, we'll read a few verses from there, and I'll try to bring the thought that God's laid on my heart. Let's begin reading in verse 1. The psalmist Asaph said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am troubled, so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work. And thy salvation, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Now may the Lord bless that reading. And let's pray, and I'll try to give you the thought and the reason I'm preaching on that thought for tonight. Our Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the psalm that is before us. Thank you for letting me gaze once again into the holy book of God. And thank you, Lord, once again for calling my attention to this particular psalm, to the thoughts that we found therein. I pray that the Spirit of God would bless them to the hearts of your people. For without you, Lord, I can do nothing. I pray for your power. I pray for energy in the body and strength, Lord, in the body. I pray for power in the spirit, spiritual man and the inner man. I pray that you'll anoint with fresh oil. And Lord, may you make me a blessing to the people of God. I want to be an encouragement to them, help them along life's way somewhat. So I pray that the Spirit of God would manifest to each heart the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in a special way. Give us great understanding and wisdom. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we move through this psalm. Be sensitive, Lord, to the needs of others. And may we always give you the praise and the glory for every soul that is saved, for every heart that's changed, and every home, Lord, is revived and blessed, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Well, I learned that the theme of our ladies' meeting this year is Reflections of Love. And the Lord brought it to my attention that here in Psalm number 77, that the psalmist uses the word remember, or remembrance, or to remember, or remembrance. He uses that word five times here in this psalm. And to remember something is to reflect on something. And it is to look back. Remember something, look back, reflect on something of the past. And so By God's help, when I get to the close of the message tonight, it'll be right at the very close. But I want to preach a little while, if he'll let me, on Asaph's reflections. And maybe what he reflected upon will help you tonight and help you somewhat in our ladies' meeting to reflect on the love of God. And to reflect on that, you got to look back to when you first realized his love for you. And maybe it will be some sort of a blessing to you. Now, if you read the beginning of the psalm, I didn't take time to read the title, but the author of the psalm is a man by the name of Asaph. He was a man of exercised mind. That is, he used his thinking. He used his head for something besides a hat rack. But it seems so often in the psalm or this psalm, that he would sink in spirit to a very lowly estate. And you know, that's the way many of us are today. Our spirit sometimes gets low. I think of that old song Brother Milby sings, "When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up." And that's the way with God's people today. And it always has been the way with God's people, because it was with Asaph. Now, I have no reason to believe that people between him and us now, there's any difference. We're all humans. We're all made of clay. We're all the same nature. We're all the same way. And if Asaph sunk low in spirit, I'm sure that others did, and I'm confident that we will in our generation today. And so he was here in a very lowly state of spirit and mind. He was very thoughtful. He was contemplative and believing, but there always seemed to be a black cloud that followed him through life. I look back at Asaph's Psalms. I've read them time and time again in the book of Psalms. And it seems as every one of them, he's got a black cloud hanging over his head. Have you ever been around somebody like that? That they never have anything to smile about. They never have anything to be joyful about. It's almost like there's always a black cloud hanging over their head. We were sitting at the supper table tonight. I call it supper. And I thought these two girls standing over there were going to laugh their heads off. And I mean, it seemed like everything Grandpa would say, they'd find something to giggle and laugh and carry on about it. And, you know, when young people like that are laughing and happy, it makes us old codgers feel a little bit better. And sometimes when we're grandpas, we just get right in there and mix it up with them and laugh and joke and carry on right along with them and have a good time. And by the way, the Bible does say that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Absolutely. And so we tried to have a good time. And there's people like that. They always seem like everywhere they go, a black cloud follows them. They never have anything good to say. They never have a word of joy to speak to anybody else. And they never seem to have that word that's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Generally, somebody that's down and low in their own heart has absolutely nothing to offer somebody else that's down that way in their heart. That's why I've tried to stay on top of things as much as I can in my own life. And God knows I've failed miserably at it as your pastor. But I've tried to stay as jovial as I know how as we fight the battles of life together and the devil and go through this thing together in life. I want to try to be as happy and jovial as I can. And because I know that iron sharpeneth iron. And the countenance of one sharpeneth the countenance of another. And I'm not much on smiling. I can be smiling in my heart and frowning on my face. That's just the way I am. But there's a lot of folks that's always got a smile on their face. And they help me when I'm around them. They just seem to do something for me. Well, Asaph was that fellow that was always low in spirit. Had a black cloud over his head everywhere he went. And every psalm that he wrote, it seemed like he was discouraged. It seemed like he was defeated, downhearted, broken, and seemed like he found no way absolutely to get back on top of things. Now, one thing he knew how to do was pray. Now, I want to look first of all at Asaph's prayer in verse 1. He said, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me." This psalm has a lot of sadness in it. But we may be sure it will end well. Somebody said, "How do you know, Brother Hall?" For it begins with prayer, and prayer never has an ill issue. Here's a man that was of sorrowful heart, But he wrote a psalm that began in prayer. And as we get down through this thing, you will find out that it ended up in a well-mannered way, with Asaph back on top of his life, in charge, and letting the Lord be in charge of his life, and he had some joy once again in his life. And I'm confident that if we would learn to pray, it would elevate our spirits to a place of joy and gladness and thankfulness in the Lord. If there's one place God's people are short in, it's in this thing called prayer. And the Bible said that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. The Bible said, ask and you shall receive. The Bible said, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Bible said, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, it shall be done unto you. And on we go in this thing called prayer. And the Psalms, by the way, we find prayers over and over and over and over again. It'd do you good to look through the book of Psalms and just sort out those prayers that the psalmist made down through the way. It'd help you out. Well, I find out that the strongest men in the Bible were men of prayer. The greatest women in the Bible were women of prayer. And if you'll start your Christian life, with prayer, I'll guarantee you it'll end in prayer. If you'll start your day in prayer, it will end in prayer. Amen. And prayer will keep you with a merry heart, a joyful spirit, and will keep you on top of things. Even if that black cloud is over your head, prayer will help you realize that there's a silver lining behind every cloud, and things are never nearly as bad as what they seem to be. I'll tell you, if we listen to our conscience and listen to ourselves, have you ever talked to yourself? Somebody say amen. You know you have. And you've told yourself exactly how terrible everything is going on around you. I'm telling you, self is a bad person to listen to. And there's not very many people out there that you can listen to. But I'll tell you, there is one you can listen to. If you listen to that inward voice of the Spirit of God, He'll always lead you in the right direction, and He'll never make things sound any worse than what they are in your life. He'll constantly remind you that you're there because God has allowed you to be there. And if God has allowed you to be there, God will bring you out of whatever it is that you're facing. Amen. Amen. And I'm hoping in this meeting, as we reflect on the love of God and the things God has done for us, that it will lift our spirits and bless our church and send us just a little reviving in these days that we're living in. Amen. Now notice, and I got to get through this quickly. They were prayers that are spoken. He said in verse number 1, he cried. Asaph did not run to man, but to the Lord. And he went to him, not with the studied, stately, stilted words, but with a cry. The natural, unaffected, unaffined expression of pain. Just like a crying child always gets attention from his parents. I've said that so many times. Asaph did not fool around. A cry is a sound of pain. And most of the time, if a child cries, he or she is either hungry and wants a bottle, or they are in some kind of pain. It don't even have to be much pain. They can need a diaper change and be a little irritated on their little backside, and they're going to cry to mommy because their little backside is in pain. But once that diaper is changed and the powder's put on, somebody say amen, that child, the pain is gone and the smile is back on the face, the countenance has changed and the spirit has changed, and so it is with the Lord. If your heart is pain tonight and you're in low spirit tonight and you feel broken tonight and troubled tonight, don't play games with the Lord. Cry to the Lord. Let the Lord know about your pain. Let Him know about your heartache. Let Him know about your grief. Let Him know about your trouble. And God will deliver you, as He did Paul, out of all of your troubles, what the Bible says. Delivered Paul out of all of his troubles. Amen. And so his prayers were spoken. Then his prayers were sighing. Look at verse number 4. He said, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. His prayers were sighing. He said, I cannot speak. Words are but the body, the garment. They're the outside of the prayer. Sighs are near the heart of work. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, can you prove that in the Bible? I certainly can. What are you going to do about little Hannah when she was praying for a Samuel? And there come Eli, that old backslidden man of God, and thought she was drunk because all he saw was the movement of her lips. He could not perceive the sighing of her heart. She said she wasn't a woman of Belial. She wasn't drunk. She hadn't been drinking strong wine. But she said, I'm a woman of great sorrow and great grief. She wasn't saying one word with her lips. But I'll tell you, she was praying in her heart and sighing in her heart. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is still true. And it said a broken heart and a contrite spirit, God will not deny that. And I yet believe that today. And if we'd ever learn to cry to God and sigh to God from our heart, cry to Him from our soul, rather than making some little old fleshly, carnal prayer made up of words to try to make it sound good before somebody else, we'd be able to get in touch with God and God would hear, and God still answers prayers. Most people pray to be heard by man. You want God to answer your prayers, crawl off in the closet. Get alone with God. Then you can pray out loud or silently, either one, for nobody around to hear you. Crawl in that closet. Get alone. Find you a place you can get alone. I believe that's why the Bible said that man ought to build house to house and field to field till there's no room for man. You get in some of these big cities, I don't know where they go pray. Right. I've been through places over in Louisville. You can reach out your bedroom window and shake hands with your neighbor next door. Right. Boy, I wouldn't want to live in a place like that. Praise God, I'm glad I live out where if I want to find a woods to get into and pray, I can go pray. Right. If I want to find a lonely spot with God, I can find it. If I'm brokenhearted and all I do is lay there and weep and cry before God, I can do that. But if God allows me to cry out, amen, with a voice unto Him, I can do that also. And God will hear whether it is a cry from the lips or a sigh from the heart, regardless of what it is. God hears our prayers if they're prayed in the right attitude, with a right motive and a right desire. God will hear them and answer them for us. Amen. That's right. Now, it was prayers of sobbing. I'm talking about tears. You realize that tears have a tongue? They do. Tears have a tongue, absolutely. And have a grammar and have a language. And our Father knows them. If He bottles our tears and puts them in a bottle, surely they've got a tongue that speaks. I've heard of men before, I can't think of the preacher's name. It said there was times that he'd lay just for hours at a time and do nothing but weep. And I've told you this story. I'll tell it again. G. Campbell Morgan pastored the Westminster Tabernacle after D. Martin Lloyd Jones. And a vacationer went by that church when Campbell Morgan was there. And he went in. And no one, he went there after D. Martin Lloyd Jones had left. And he went in and he found that there's no one there but a janitor. And he asked that janitor, he said, can I see the pastor's office? I've traveled a long way. I'd like to see the office. He said, certainly. And he led him into where Lloyd Jones' office was. And the man asked him, by the way, it was a Presbyterian church. And the man asked him, said, what made your pastor such a great preacher as he was and greater than other men? And he said, our pastor could sit at that chair, bend over his desk, put his hands over his face, and within seconds, tears would be running over his chin and dripping on his desk. And God reads tears, ladies and gentlemen. They've got a tongue that talks to God. And if we'll ever talk to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, if we'll ever get right and get real and get honest and want something from God, our problem is we want out of our trouble, but we don't want God to get us out of our trouble. We want out of it on our own, and we ain't going to make it out on our own. It's going to take God to get you out, friend. Absolutely. So in prayers of sobbing, there's tears, and tears have a tongue. Just like babies, they have a prayer. They have a prayer for the breast. They have no prayer for the breast but weeping. I don't mean to sound ugly, but I guarantee when little Logan wants mother, he knows how to get mother. And he can either cry out loud, and generally he gets mama's attention. And them tears, and I've been around Elizabeth there on vacation, and he'd just whimper a little bit. She said, well, it's feeding time. I said, how do you know? She said, I can tell the way he's crying. Now I'm going to tell you, God can tell the way we're crying. Yes. Exactly what it is we need.
Yes, sir.
Amen to God. That's right. Are y'all listening tonight? Psalm 6 and verse 8. The Bible said, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Amen. What about Hagar in the wilderness? Why weepest thou, Hagar? And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water there in the wilderness. I'm telling you that tears have a tongue that talk to God, ladies and gentlemen. He understands sobbing. He understands sighing. And he also understands words that are spoken. God understands them all. He's God. He doesn't miss a thing. Thanks be unto God for it. Amen. The prayer prevailed because it says there in verse number 1, Asaph said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. God, the prayer prevailed, and God heard the cry of Asaph, and God delivered him. And then I'm going to look at Asaph's pain. I got to hurry because I want to get to the real thought that God laid on my heart for tonight. Verses 2 through 4. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. And cease not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Notice, it was not his body alone that smarted, but it was the noblest nature within. That soul was in pain. His life itself seemed to be crushed to the earth. In such case, that death is coveted as relief and life becomes an intolerable burden. Somebody said, Baptists can't get that way. Some of y'all ain't far from that now. Some of you are not far from that now. There are times when we're so Christ in our spirit and Christ in our heart and broken in our heart that death would seem like a relief to us. If we could just die and go on to heaven, would be better than to stay here and live in the misery that we're living in. I'm telling you, come on and help me. God didn't leave us here to live a life of misery. God left us here that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants us to rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in our salvation, and just kind of get tuned up, prepared for heaven. Glory to God. Amen to God. We could just catch one glimpse. I've heard preachers say, man, you could just catch one glimpse of hell. I'd rather catch a glimpse of heaven. Amen. I believe a glimpse of heaven do more for me than a glimpse of hell any day. That's right. That's absolutely right. Thank God. Catch a glimpse on the other side. The glory and the beauty of heaven. The peace, the tranquility. Amen. The bliss that awaits us. God just open our eyes and give us just one little peep over on the other side. I'll never forget there's an old fella at Tabernacle. Buddy didn't get on in there sometime and folks start testifying, he'd jump up. A lot of them older folks, they called Doc Sider Brother Harold. He'd say, Brother Harold, said I just caught a peep of glory on the other side. Said, God just let me tiptoe and look over. Now I'm telling you, that's what some of you in here tonight need to get in that Bible. Get on your knees and just get a tip on your tiptoes and peep over and look on the other side and catch a glimpse of God's glory. I tell you, do more for you than anything else in all this world is to catch a glimpse of the place you're going to when you die. Amen. God's painted a picture of it in the Bible. Read the Bible. It's all over it, friend. Woo! Amen to God. That's right. It's all over the Bible. Now I'm going to tell you what's going to make it. Heaven's going to be Jesus. Amen to God. Thank God. I'm glad we've got Him here now in the person of the Holy Ghost. but one of the, and every now and then he'll manifest himself in the, in our worship. But one of these days he's going to manifest himself in person. We're going to see him. Now I'm going to make some of you mad right here. About all we can do right now is feel him. Oh, we can't feel him. Don't tell me that. What do you think them idiots feel at them ball games? Don't tell me you can't feel Jesus tickling your heart. The songwriter said, when God dips the pen of his love in my heart, he writes my soul a message. Amen to God. God just reach down with the feather of heaven and tickle your little innards anytime he wants to. He can do a better job than Mountain Dew ever thought of doing. Amen. Mountain Dew might tickle your innards, but he can tickle your heart. Amen to God. That's right. We just need to catch a glimpse of over on the other side. That's right. Now, and sometimes life becomes an intolerable burden. And I'm telling you, death is covered. And I know some men don't believe that saints can commit suicide, but I'm telling you, they can. Things can get so terrible, they can. What are you going to do about Samson? There was a man that had was the most powerful man God ever set on earth. The strongest man that ever lived. And he lost. He was bound. He was blind. He was embarrassed. Amen. But God let that hair grow. And he asked God, just do it again, Lord, one more time. And I'll guarantee you that he killed himself, but he killed some of them Philistines along with him. Somebody say, amen right there. And I assure you, when you get on the other side, Samson will be over there waiting on you. Somebody said, well, that's different. I don't know if it was. His life had to be unbearable. His life had to be intolerable. On that gristmill in the Philistine prison, grinding in that prison, a place where he had never been before and shouldn't have never been, but he let sin get him there and there was no way out and death looked better than life to him. Are you listening? Now, he was pained in mind. He said, my soul refuses to be comforted. We ought to guard our minds. Paul, Peter said, and you've heard this before, 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that will be brought to us under the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was pained in his memory. He said in verse number 3, I remembered God and was troubled. He was wretched indeed. A man is wretched indeed whose memories of God are ever his memories of the ever blessed prove distressing to him. Here's a man that remembered God and was pained in his mind. I'm going to tell you why, and I'll get to that in a minute. But he remembered the blessings of the Lord, and he realized where he was and how he had got there. And it troubled him when he thought of God and realized he had strayed as far from God as what he had strayed from. Amen. It troubled him in his own mind. And neighbor, it ought to trouble you and I tonight. Yes, where we're living in this generation, God help us. I've never seen a generation that is so content to live without God, who can have God if you want him, but are contented to live without him. And we've gotten so used to the dark that there's dust on the Bible, there's dust on the altar, there's no worship in the house of God, there's no praise offered him in the house of God, and he who seeks out those who worship him in spirit and in truth and commands us to praise him will not hang around where he is not wanted. He'll write Ichabod on the door and take a fight. Amen. Somebody can say amen right there. Amen. Now, he was pained in his mind, his memory. I want you to look at Asaph's pride, then I'll get to the thought and we'll be done before you know it. Amen. We ain't been here but an hour already. We got plenty of time. his pride. He said in verse 2, my soul refused to be comforted. That's a sad shape when a man can find comfort and refuses to be comforted. I'd rather be miserable, he said, than I would to be happy. That's sad, ladies and gentlemen. But I really believe there's people like that today that would rather be sad and miserable than they would be happy. You know why? I think they get their kicks making others sad. I think they get their kicks rubbing off on people. I think they think it makes them look, I think folks think it makes them look spiritual to run around long-faced all the time with a sad countenance all the time. Amen, like they're sucking on lemons all the time. Look how spiritual I am. I'm mourning in my heart. No, you ain't mourning in your heart. You're sin sick in your heart, and you fail to let the joy of the Lord overwhelm you and bless you and lift you up to where God wants you to be in your Christian life. You're happy doing that. You're happy making others sorrowful too. Misery loves company. Learned that a long time ago. And somebody that's miserable wants everybody else around them to be miserable. I learned that a long time ago. You folks in here that don't want to be miserable or just jump up and shout about three times, run around the building about twice. Jump through that window back there. Brother Ricky ought to get up and jump into the baptistry. We'll rehearse old times and see if I'll move these out of the way and we'll see if he's still as strong as he was 1996, 12 years ago. He can still leap one building in a single bound. Amen. Turn on the cold water and baptize him all over again just for the sake of it. Amen. Now, he regarded some comforts as too weak for his case. He regarded others as untrue. He regarded others as unhallowed. He declined even grounds of consolation, which ought to have been effectual to him. As a sick man turns away from the most nourishing food, even so Asaph refused to eat. You ever been sick? I remember when I was in Vietnam, laying in that Quonset hut and had malaria, sweat running all over me 1 minute, freezing to death 1 minute, burning up the next minute. I'm shivering and shaking like a dog. Didn't know where I was at 1 minute, or next minute I didn't know where I was at. In and out and in and out. And I never got so hungry I couldn't hardly. I was starving to death. And the minute that door opened and that trays of food coming out Quonset hut, I got so sick I couldn't stand it. I couldn't eat. I got so sick I couldn't eat. And I'm telling you, Baptists can get so sin sick they cannot eat the Word of God. Yeah. Nothing suits them. I don't care what meal you place before them. Give them a steak, they don't want it. Give them milk, they don't want it. Give them manna, they don't want it. Amen. Give them why you want to give them, they don't want it. Amen. He refused to eat. And I wrote here, you may bring one to the waters of promise, but you can't make him drink. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, folks. That's for sure. Many in their despondency have pushed aside the cup of gladness and continue to hug the chains of sorrow. That's how they live all their life. They'll die that way. They'll die pooged up. They was born pooged, they'll die pooged. Amen. Now listen carefully. All is not lost. There's Asaph's prosperity. Asaph found himself a winner either way. He really did. Things begin to pick up. Now listen carefully. This psalm also has a victory sign. It starts to pick up when Asaph begins to reflect. When he begins to remember and reflect on the wonderful love of God. And the many times in the past, that love was manifest in his life. Now, I guarantee you, if you and I will reflect on God's love, instead of concentrating on our troubles, our heart will be elevated into realms of joy and happiness. And the word, hey, by the way, and the word remember is mentioned 5 times in this one chapter. Over and over, remember, remember. Why do you think God put that there? By the way, 5 is a number of grace. Amen. God put that there for us to remember. Amen.
He knew that someday there'd be folks like us that were just as discouraged and defeated as Asaph. Just as miserable as Asaph. And as Asaph needed to remember God's love and reflect on that love, you and I need to reflect on that love tonight. Great day in the morning. Let's all let our minds run back to that wonderful day when Jesus came to where we were and brought us out of sin. If that don't lift your joy, nothing will. To remember you as a sinner going to hell, ladies and gentlemen. A place where your soul would fry in hell for an eternity. But Christ came up, unlocked your cell, and let you free. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. That's what happened to Asaph. He said, great day in the morning. Why am I like I am? I'm free. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? I'm free. Free from the guilt of my past. Can you sing that song in a cappella? Stand up and sing it. I didn't say Acapulco either. We're not going to Acapulco. Amen. Thy love. Oh, yeah. Y'all remember that night?
Amen.
Ooh, Jesus. Now you hear what I'm getting ready to say. His remembrance of God only brought deep pain and sorrow of heart until you reach verse 5. Then things begin to change in verse number 5. He said, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Verse number 3. I remembered God. There he remembered God. And I'm going to touch on that in a minute. But in verse 5, he said, I call to remembrance. When you get to verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. He said, I remembered God and was troubled. But they said, all of a sudden, I begin to call those days of old, consider the days of old and the years of ancient times.
Right.
In other words, his conscience was pricked. When he thought on God and his heart was overwhelmed. But there in verse 5, his conscience was pricked. And I'm sure he said to himself, my Lord and my God, why am I where I'm at when you're where you are?
Oh, you'll catch that in my slow prayer after a while. You're on the throne, and you're in control. You're the ruler of my life and the controller of this world. You're the sovereign God of the universe. Why is my heart cast down within me? Why am I so disquieted in my soul? Hope thou in God. And I'm telling you, tonight we can hope in God. Even in 208 we can hope in God. I don't care how bad things are. We can hope in God. He's still on the throne. And then, amen, there's always that opportunity with God. Amen. That's right. His conscience was pricked. His thought pattern changed. Now I'm going to tell you. When God pricks your conscience, your thought pattern changes. What do you think about that crowd in Acts chapter number 2 that crucified the Lord? But when they heard Peter preaching in Acts chapter number 2, the Bible said they were pricked in their heart. Said, men and brethren, what must we do? You know what happened to them? Their thought pattern changed, friend.
Yes, sir.
They started thinking different ways. ASAP started thinking a little different. Don't you think it's time we started thinking a little differently? Give God credit for something. He's still God. He's still God. Has God's power depleted? Has He clean forgotten it? Is He gone forevermore? Is His favor gone? Is His promise gone? Has God forgotten all about us and just left us here to wallow in our pity until the trumpet sounds? No, sir. His conscience was pricked, and he considered the past. Now, I'm telling you, that's what this whole church needs to do. We're looking at present tense rather than the days of old. And I know the Ecclesiastes writer said it's not good to say the days of old are better than the days now. And I used to think, well, the days of old were better than the days now. So why is it wrong to think that? And I got thinking about that. Because if we think that long enough, it will depress us. Right. All things back then was wonderful, but they're terrible now. Solomon said you oughtn't to think that the days of old are better than the days now.
Right.
God's got us here for this reason.
Yes,
just like He did little Esther.
That's right.
For such a time as this. God's brought this little group of Baptist people together. And I believe, and I'm a Baptist, and praise God, if you're not, you're invited to leave. And I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
Amen. Old-fashioned Baptist. Thank God for Baptist. But I'm telling you, God's brought this little Baptist church together for a purpose and a reason. We're not just here to take up space on a pew. God's left us here because there's something left to do in the work and the service of God. That's why we're here.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks be unto God. So let's think about right now. Somebody said, we're not very big, Brother Hall. We've lost some people. Praise God, we're bigger than we was the first night I showed up.
Amen.
First morning we had 17 or 19 people here. We ain't got many more than that, but a few more. Amen.
Amen.
We got something to thank God for.
Yes, sir.
And at least we're not going out proselyting everybody like some churches I know to get filled up.
Preach,
and I'll tell you what, if you proselyte them to fill it up, she'll blow up.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
There's very few of you in here I ever visited before you visited this church. As far as I know, I never visited Mark and Kim one time until they come to church. I never visited the Rickards until they come to church. I never visited the Woodards until they come to church. I never visited the Robinsons until they come to church. I never visited Rick and Kelly until they come to church during that revival. I never visited Steve and Angie. And I've never been in the home of Shelby and Louise. I saw them at a funeral. I never visited Steve and Patty. I did visit Robert and Sue right to come here because they were members of here. I never visited Sister Towery. And I never visited Fraser. I don't know anybody I visited.
So they can't say I proselyted nobody. You're here because somebody besides me got a hold of you and brought you here. And if God brought you here, anchor yourself here. Be a bloom where you planted, hallelujah. Bloom here for God and do something for God here in this place. During this coming week, let's reflect on His love and not look back on our pain and misery. Praise God, it's time to snap out of it. Take a pill, a gospel, and get out of where your mood you're in. Amen.
You thought you were going to say some other kind of a pill, didn't you? You thought I was going to say take a lower tab. That helps, but it wears off too quick. Now, he not only remembered his Savior, not only remembered his Savior, verse 3, I remembered God. He did remember his Savior. But he also, in verse number 6, he said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He remembered his song. You know, music always has a way of lifting the spirit. Sure it does. Turn on the radio and you'll get to whistling. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, this crowd listening to rock and roll music, they're listening to music that's telling them they're going to hell. Right. They're happier listening to that than we are singing the songs of Zion.
Right. Amen.
God help us. They're happy going to hell, and we're sad going to heaven. Why would they want what we got? They're happier than we are. Amen. Now, music always has a way of lifting the spirit. Look here. In that song, he remembered God's favor. Look at verse 7. The Lord will not cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? He's starting to question God now. Will you not favor me anymore? Is your favor gone? He said in verse number 8, is His mercy clean gone? He remembered God's mercy. He said also in verse number 8, doth His promise fail forevermore? He remembered God's promises. In verse number 9, he said, hath God forgotten to be gracious? He remembered God's grace. And then in verse number 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious forevermore? And hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And then he said, I think I'm going to stop and pause and think on that for a little bit. Will God be favorable no more? Sure He will. Will He be merciful no more? Sure He will. His mercy endureth to all generations.
Yep.
Has God's promises ever failed? No. And they will not fail today.
Yep.
Praise God. He stopped and began to scratch his head and think on that. He said, is God's grace gone? No, God's grace is not gone. Grace, abundant grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that pardons and cleanses within. Thank God for that grace. Reflections of His love. Reflections of His love. Think of the love. Look back at the love that God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost when He saved you.
Amen.
Then He paused to meditate on all those things. Then in verse number 10, he said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. What do you think that right hand represents? God's strength and power. I'm going to remember His strength. Oh, yes. Psalm 27:1 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life.
Amen.
Of our very life, He gives us strength to live from day to day. That's right. He said in Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I'm going to read one more psalm, then I'm going to put these together. Psalm 138:3 said, in the day when I cried, Thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. So you know what those three psalms says? God strengthened His life. God strengthened His heart.
God strengthened his soul. That tells me God strengthened his entire being about him. He said, I remembered the strength, the right arm, the power of Almighty God and what he can do. Amen.
Amen.
I'm hurrying now. He remembered also in verse number 11. I'm sorry, verse number 10, I guess it is. I wrote the wrong verse. He said, this is my infirmity. No, verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember the wonders of old. He remembered. Now, when he said, I remember the works of the Lord, that puzzled me for a minute. But I stopped and thought on that, and I said, what does it mean, the works of the Lord? And it came to me in alliteration form. He remembered God's service to us. You see, we have forgotten that we're His servants, but He is also our servant. So, now that's hard to believe. But did He not take up apron, towel, and water and wash their feet as a servant? Sure He did. Listen to what He said, and you know this verse. Matthew 20:28. He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister unto... But to minister and give His life a ransom for many. He came not to be served, but to serve. And ladies and gentlemen, He's serving today. Now I'm just going to mention these and we're getting ready to close. He serves as our advocate. He serves as our church administrator. I'm not the ruler around here. He is. He serves as a protector against our adversaries. He's our armor. He's a church administrator. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. He's our intercessor. He's our high priest. He's our goat. And He's serving us in those capacities today. He serves us.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name that He had stooped so low to serve a worm like me. That amazes me. Then I'm closing here. Notice He said there in verse 11, I will remember the wonders of old. Now, you got to catch this. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. So when he said there in verse 11, I will remember the wonders of old, he's thinking about that sanctuary. His mind goes back to that tabernacle in the wilderness, the scriptures that he's read about it, and how God was there. I'm going to tell you, our mind ought to go back to how God was there and how He was in the temple and how He was in the temple of Christ. And now He tabernacles in the church. If He is in you tonight, He is in the sanctuary. Somebody said, how do you know God's here? I brought Him! This body, it's His means of motivation or motivation on this earth. Now, people don't want to believe that. They believe in a mystical God. But God's a real person. And I'm telling you, He indwells every living, born-again child of God. And everywhere you go, He goes, friend.
Amen.
That's why when He comes to church and we all get together, things ought to pick up. Iron sharpeneth iron, and I'm telling you, two or three come in whistling and skipping. It'll help out somebody else in the sanctuary to know that God is in this place. Somebody said, well, He left here a long time ago. You're dumber than a box of rocks.
Right.
Just give us a $43,000 marathon, and you think God's left here? He supported this ministry for... since 1977, really since 1970. Do you think that God's gone?
Amen.
We've seen Him come and seen Him go. But He ain't never left.
Amen.
Reflections of His love. Why don't you and I tomorrow get alone and reflect a little bit on the good love of God. Prepare our hearts for the banquet, the ladies' meeting.
reflections of His love. And I'm going to tell you something. When you look in that mirror every morning, you see a reflection of His love. Because He loves you. He loves you. And you see you're a reflection of His wonderful love every day, every hour. When you think not, run, look in the mirror again and just speak out loud and say, Lord, I'm glad You love what I'm looking at. I'm glad You love who I'm looking at. Now, somebody may have to come in there every now and then and pull your head out of the ceiling. And I'm telling you, you never get over it. Let's stand together.